every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. On the show where you can find help and hope, because we have a whole bunch of that stuff here. And with me, as always, is like this woman in disguise with her shamrock glasses on, my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon. I just came straight from the party from last night.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You look lovely.
Almost sober.
That's good. Oh my God. Well, I hope everybody had a nice St. Patty's Day. You know, I was reminiscing yesterday, and when I was a kid in grammar school, I went to Catholic school, we had our uniforms and everything. You know, you could only wear your uniform. You couldn't put a pin on it or anything like that. But on St. Patrick's Day, my dad would give us that morning a green carnation with a bow that he got from, like, the florist.
And they would let you wear it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was kind of nice. So with us, we have Piper Vandalay. I'm so glad that you're here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to chat a little bit further in the show, and you're from Accent Care, which is close to my heart.
Yes.
I'm on the board there. And
formerly?
No, well, formerly Seasons Hospice. That's what I'm supposed to say. So I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Felicia in Pennsylvania. We have Evelyn in Pinellas Park. And we have Dana in St. Pete.
Welcome, ladies.
Like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen on live on AM and FM or on YouTube or on Facebook or on my website.
Or Apple. Or everywhere.
Wherever.
We're everywhere.
Because our mission is to help the caregivers.
Yes.
So we're going to have calling in a couple of minutes, Mary Shannon Daniel, who is my hero. So Mary will tell you a little bit more of the backstory. But Mary lives in Jacksonville, and her husband was in a community, and COVID happened. And she said, we're locking down the doors. You can't come see your husband. And she would go there to visit him through the window, and what would he do? He would cry because he couldn't understand. I mean, it was hard for people that didn't have cognitive impairment to figure out what COVID was. Mm-hmm. So what does this gal do? She gets a job as a dishwasher there. It just, like, makes me so excited.
Yes.
It's, like, so bold. What'd you say, Ed?
Did she go undercover or what?
No, she just got a job as a dishwasher. And she was a professional woman. She said, never in my life did I think I would have dishwasher on my resume. But she went there and she got a job as a dishwasher. So every night she would go in and she would do the dishes after dinner or whatever. And she would set up the kitchen for the staff for the next day. And then she would get to spend some time with her husband and tuck him into bed. And I was like, wow. So she started a movement called Caregivers for Compromise, because isolation kills too. Mm-hmm. Which I think, at that moment, it seemed so serious. And then as the months went on, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, we saw how serious that was. We saw how serious it was for our loved ones and communities not to be able to be with us. People would go back when things finally opened, and they said, I went to visit Mom. Mom lost 25 pounds.
Because yeah, and a lot of people didn't go to the emergency room or anything because they couldn't take their partner with them, and they were afraid, and they died.
Well, and they didn't even go to eat dinner. Or dinner was brought to their room, and they didn't eat it, where before, when their daughter was there, or their spouse was there, or their sister was there, they would feed Mom. They would comb Mom's hair.
Friend Bernie in Canada, she used to go visit her mom in the nurse. In the assisted living, and they sat outside at 20 below zero.
20 below. Her girlfriend Bernie started it. She's like, I'm out here going to see my mom. And then before you know, somebody else came out, even though it was freezing cold.
Yeah.
You know, it's isolation. You know, like, when you're really bad and you go to jail and they put you in solitary confinement, that's severe punishment.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like what this was, too.
That's why I don't believe in the death penalty. Just put them in solitary. I do.
So do we have my hero, Mary Daniel, on the phone?
You do. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you, my friend? I just have to tell you before we go any further how proud I am of you. For everything you've done, because you've spoken out for so many people and you've made a difference. It shows how one woman and a team of friends and volunteers can make a difference.
It does, doesn't it? And it's so empowering to see it still, so many people still working together on our cause that it's overwhelming sometimes.
Well, I have to tell you, it's really funny. I remember when this first started and I saw you had posted something on Facebook about it. And so I messaged you and said, would you like to be on my radio show? And you were like, yeah. And you came on and everything was great. And then like 2 weeks later, you were in People Magazine and ABC News, but I had you first.
You're a launch pad.
You did. It's the absolute truth. You did. I remember it well.
So give us a little bit more backstory for the people who are listening that don't know about the mission.
All right. 2 years ago, obviously we all went through COVID together. My husband is in a memory care center. He was diagnosed 9 years ago with Alzheimer's. He was 59 at the time, and he had been in memory care in March of 2020 for about 8 months. I went to see him every single evening, got him ready for bed, as I'm thankfully doing now. And I went to see him on March 11th, and on March 12th, they called and told me that I couldn't come back. Oh. So I kind of got impatient and started talking to the facility. Is there something I can do? Can I get a job? There's got to be something. Can I volunteer? This just wasn't going to work for me. I had promised him that I would be with him every day, that he would never be alone through this journey, and I felt like I wasn't upholding that promise to him. So thankfully, I say when the days turned to weeks and the weeks turned to months, in June, I got a call completely out of the blue from his corporate office of his community, and they asked me if I wanted a job, and I said, I'll take it. What is it? And they said it was a dishwasher. So I started dishwashing on July the 3rd. It had been 114 days since I had seen him, and I got to go see him and give him a hug after my shift.
Wow.
My heart. I mean, just how you say this, that I know the story, I hear the story, and we're going to talk about your book and the stories in your book. Like, the hair is standing on my legs, and I shaved this morning.
Thank you, good Lord.
Thank you, good Lord. No, I'm serious. This is so important. All right, so go further.
So that story went viral. Thank goodness it got the attention of Governor DeSantis, and he appointed me to his newly formed task force for the safe reopening of long-term care facilities. I was the only caregiver on the task force. It was made up of some facility association folks, the Florida Healthcare Association. For example, the Secretary of Elder Affairs, Secretary of ACA, Mary Mayhew was our leader of that task force. And I fought very, very hard for not only getting back in, but actually touching. I felt that the physical touch, it wasn't going to do us any good to get in there and not be able to rub their back or hold their hand,
right,
or give them a hug, especially with dementia patients. The physical touch is the most important thing. Steve is no longer verbal. He talks a lot, but I can't understand anything that he says. So talking to him through a window or on the phone or on
does not work
time was useless. No, in fact, it just frustrated him.
Yeah.
And to this day, he doesn't know he doesn't know what COVID is. He doesn't know that I was a dishwasher. He doesn't have any idea of that to give a sense of what his cognitive ability is. And so I needed to hug him.
Yeah.
I needed to touch him. And even, you know, right now, I will tell you, he is severely declining. He is starting to really have
drowning
issues. And me being with him, it's funny, you know, we had our bill passed last Wednesday, and we'll talk about that. But Tuesday night before the bill passed, he was really having a hard night, and I got in bed with him, and I laid with him, and I just rubbed his back until he went to sleep. And it was funny, he was all over the place and actually took his shirt off, which is very unusual, and I was actually my hand just rubbing the skin on his back.
Aww.
That really touch, you know, that skin-to-skin touch. And when I got home, I texted the two representatives, Clay Yarborough from Jacksonville and Jason Cho from the Panhandle, and I said, I know we're voting tomorrow, but I just have to tell you how important it was for me to be in bed with my husband tonight and to rub his back so that he could relax enough to go to sleep. I mean, that's what we're fighting for.
Yeah.
That's just precious time that I'll never, you know, if I wasn't there and so many people didn't get to be there to do that for their loved ones who are going through what Steve's going through right now.
Yeah.
And that's what we're fighting so hard to be sure that that never happens again.
All right. So tell us about the bill.
The bill is Senate Bill 988. It's called No Patient Left Alone. That isn't my favorite title. I wish it had been called the Essential Caregiver Bill, but we got the exact language in the bill that we wanted so I could see it on the title. I tell people, you know, Steve is not a patient. He's a resident.
Right.
And there is a difference between those two things. The beauty of this bill, however, is it's all-encompassing to include patients. So
okay.
It's hospitals. It's hospices. It's independent living for developmentally disabled individuals. It's nursing
homes. So it's 10 times more than you could have ever expected.
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. And it's exactly the language we want. It says that in the event of another emergency that we will have the right to be an essential caregiver. Every resident can have an essential caregiver who will be allowed to go in and touch. That is specified in the bill, that we will be able to touch them so that we'll never be locked out. They'll never be isolated again.
Bravo.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Yeah. Because, you know, there was that terrible part where they started letting you see them, but you had to sit 6 feet away from them and you couldn't touch them.
Well,
touch.
I'll tell you what we found, I mean, the mantra of my Facebook group is called Caregivers for Compromise.
Yeah.
Isolation kills too. And what we found in the group, and not only in Florida, but all over the United States, is that the facilities did whatever they wanted to do. They weren't really interested in following the guidelines. So the mantra of our group has been, from the very beginning, educate yourself so that you can educate them. So we, as the caregiver, have been the ones to go into the facilities and show them the paperwork from whatever state we're in. From Florida, the governor issued guidelines in an executive order September the 1st saying mm-hmm. we could go back in. And we found many people saying, yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So we would print the order. We would highlight the areas where they were breaking the rules. We would hand them the order and say, please don't make me file a complaint with ACA.
Right.
Don't make me do that. I just want to follow. I just want to go in. The governor, the state says I can go in. You need to let me in.
But you know what?
And it works.
I don't understand. Why don't they want to let you in? You're there to help them. You're there to help your loved one. You're the other one to comb your spouse's hair. You're there to rub their back, to make sure that they eat, to make sure that their toenails are cut.
Which, you know, that's part of my story. That first day on July the 3rd when I went into Steve's room and got him ready for bed that night and took his shoes off, his toenails had not been cut for 114 days.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I cut them that day, which, by the way, I've never, ever done before. His feet were his own.
Yeah.
He was good at taking care of that himself. And so for me, I went into his toiletry bag, and his toenail clippers were gone. He had a pair before COVID, and they were gone. But I took those little silver nail scissors.
Oh, my goodness.
His toenails, because there was no way I could leave his feet like that. There was no way I could do it. But there was a lot of reasons why, and I'm still finding, by the way, it's really sort of a lot of my advocacy is doing some shifting and trying to build this relation back with communities. For some reason, we've become adversaries, and it's us against them. And
that's not the deal.
Together, that is not the deal. We are, you know, I tell my group all the time, we are consumers. We are their customers.
Exactly.
We should not be treated as their enemies. We should be working together for what's in the best interest of our loved ones. But there were many places that were way understaffed that did have, you know, issues like they wanted to get the residents cleaned up, like Steve's feet, for example, get them some haircuts, get their rooms cleaned up, done some things before they allowed us back in. A lot of it became power. We had people actually say to our followers, to the caregivers, it's not safe, and we know better than what you know, and so we're not going to let you in. And so we had to fight really, really hard. And I'll tell you, there are places, even to this day, there are places that close their doors when they're not allowed to do that. We had a facility in New Smyrna Beach over Thanksgiving that closed their doors for 2 weeks, including Thanksgiving Day. No visitation. Residents were required to stay in their rooms 24/7 because of an outbreak of scabies.
Oh. Now, when did they ever do that before?
Never.
Never.
Never. But they now know they have the power to do it. So they're doing it. And what I said in testimony to the committee in Tallahassee a few weeks ago is, this is a hard enough burden for all of us to have to bear. I mean, you know, being and caring for Steve and making decisions and being sure that he... That's really hard in and of itself, right? We all talk about how caregiving can be so difficult for so many reasons. But for us to have to be the front line of defense of fighting these administrations and these companies to let us in the door, it's just, it's almost too much for many of us to be able to bear.
Yeah.
We don't, not everybody is like me. Not everybody is willing to go in and fight and argue and be confrontational.
That's why we have you.
People are afraid. People are afraid that their loved ones are going to be hurt.
Right. Or ignored or whatever.
Correct. And so they're very timid in doing that. And I try to encourage people and empower caregivers to boldly advocate for their loved ones, but I also tell them it's a very personal decision that everybody has to define their own journey here. And you're right. I do feel like, for me, I feel like I kind of worked my whole life to be in this position. I'm a patient advocate by trade. It's what I do for a living. And I've kind of worked where this is where I truly feel this is where I'm supposed to be in the work that I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm more than happy to take that on. But there's so many other people out there that are doing it too. But we're tired. We're tired of fighting. We're tired of having to deal that one extra component to, you know, going to see our loved one and be with our loved one. And so that's why it's so important for this bill, for example. I will tell you this, we've got one more thing to do, certainly here in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I got word that there was an administrator at one of the the nursing home associations who told someone that, well, you know, this bill can pass because, I mean, we can always get the law changed when we get another governor. Oh. So today we go about that, with the way we go about being sure that doesn't happen, is exactly what my Texas Caregivers for Compromise did. They passed a bill last July and last November.
Uh-huh.
Their voters in Texas, by 88% of the voters in Texas, approved a constitutional amendment for an essential caregiver. It gives every resident of long-term care in the state of Texas now has a constitutional right to an essential caregiver if there's ever a lockdown of any kind again. So we will be doing that in Florida. That will be, that's what's next for us.
So what can our listeners do to support this?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I don't, you know, although we're dealing with political issues, I have always told my folks, we really try to stay, this is a bipartisan issue, and so we try to stay neutral. But I'm going to, Representative Schoaf from the Panhandle will be in the, be a representative, be part of the legislature next year, next session at this time.
Okay.
They meet in January through March. He will be there. My representative, who was so instrumental in this bill, Clay Yarborough, is actually running for the Senate. And so I'm actually asking our followers, he is trying to collect petitions that get him on the ballot. We need him in the Senate because the two of them can present that constitutional amendment without us getting, like, you know, 100,000 signatures.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the exact number is. But they can put in and register this constitutional amendment, one in the Senate, one in the House. And so we need Representative Yarborough in the Senate so that we have him there to work with Representative Schoaf again, just like he did on getting this bill passed. And then once it gets introduced, then we have to wait until the next statewide election. So it'll be introduced next year. It may, we're working on this, trying to exactly figure this out, but our next statewide election may not be till the presidential election in 24. So it may take us that long.
Okay.
The good news is it gives us time to see how this bill is going to work. Are there any loopholes in this bill? What
can exactly
we do to improve it if we need to? And then we can really kind of get that all secure for this constitutional amendment to be sure that it's on the ballot. Then it can't be taken away. Then nobody can change the law. Nobody can do any of those things, and we're sure. And then I'll be able to rest. Then I'll know everybody in the future safe, and we don't need to worry about it again.
Thank you, my friend. And anybody that wants to follow, they can go to Facebook, Caregivers for Compromise. There's a Maine one. There's Caregivers for Compromise, Florida, New York, Maine, everywhere. Please.
Every state. Yes. Every state.
Join the team and look at those Facebook pages because you'll see the updates of what's going on and how you can help. Thank you so much, my friend, for being here today.
I'm smarter than everybody else. So thank you. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to tell everybody about it.
I so appreciate you. Have a delicious day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And one last quote here from Mary Daniel. You were assigned this mountain to show others it could be moved. Amen. And now it's time to hear from our wonderful sponsors, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yes, that woman is very powerful, and I am very grateful for her.
Oh.
Very, very grateful. So we'll see if Dr. Schumann calls in, and we also have another friend calling in about some good information, but let's talk to Pipper for a while.
Piper.
You can call me Pipper if you want, but...
As long as I don't call you late for dinner, right?
Pick right, exactly.
So you're from Accent Care?
Accent Care, formerly Seasons Hospice.
So explain a little bit about that. Why now it's changed the name from Seasons Hospice to Accent Care.
Yep. So Seasons was merged with Accent Care, both nationwide companies. The nice thing about Accent Care is just in our title, we accent the care that we provide for our patients and their family members. When Accent Care took on Seasons, they've really incorporated the Seasons way of doing hospice.
which I love.
Yeah, very patient-focused, very caregiver-focused, incredibly compassionate group of people that I have the privilege to work with.
Yeah, I love everybody there. Did you know Tim Simpson?
I did not. He was gone before I came on.
Tim, my heart. Just the fact, he told a story one time about there was a woman, and she was actively dying, and so they wanted to do her fingerprints.
Oh, yeah.
So they could make that memory jewelry or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they weren't prepared. They didn't have anything. But one of the hospice nurses had like this great lipstick that didn't go away.
I've heard this story. Yeah.
And they did it.
Yeah.
And they did it. And I can't tell you how important that is, because a whole thing with hospice is we know it's end of life. Mm-hmm. But I will say, it doesn't mean that you go to hospice, then you die the week later. Just means end of life. There are people that even graduate from hospice.
Absolutely.
But it is focused not just on your loved one, but on you as a caregiver too.
Right.
And I think that's so very important.
It's a very holistic approach.
Yeah.
To how we do things.
You know, I loved it when our hospice nurse, I loved her so much. And she would come in and she would take my husband's vitals and all that stuff. And then she's like, I think I need to take yours too. And I was like, it made me kind of feel good that somebody cared about how my blood pressure was.
Absolutely.
Or how my heart rate was, you know?
Yeah.
And my brother-in-law lived with my husband, too. Well, we'll do Chuck's, too. But it all made us feel better.
Yeah.
You know, just a little tiny thing like that made us feel better. And just everything they do there, I just love. So today we're going to talk about a tough topic.
It is a tough topic.
Grief.
Anticipatory grief.
Yeah.
Right, which is something that whether or not we all realize we're going through it, we are. So I like to think about things a little bit different.
Okay.
The first thing that comes to my mind when I think about anticipatory grief above and beyond being a caregiver is just something that we've all gone through. Graduating from high school, right? Most of us have gone through that experience of graduating from high school, and there's that excitement and that, oh my goodness, I get to finally accomplish this big goal that my parents have put so much pressure on me and my family, and everyone's going to be there to gather with me. But I remember being really emotional, and I didn't understand why, and largely because I was emotionally immature, right? I was 17, 18 years old. But it's that excitement, knowing that there's a change coming, but also being afraid of that change.
Yeah.
And when I think about anticipatory grief, I try and sometimes put it in a different context for my caregivers and my family members so they can better wrap their heads around it. I've experienced this before. I just didn't know what it was called.
Yeah, and you know what? The same thing for myself. I experienced it 15 years ago with my mom or whatever. And I can remember first starting to bring this up in support groups. And I would say to a person in the support group, do you know that you're grieving right now? And she'd be like, oh, yeah, maybe I am.
Yeah, being able to connect
those
dots.
There's so many losses before.
Right. Changes, right? Yeah. Some people go through divorce. Some people, when they're getting ready to be married, right?
Or they move.
Losing a job, moving a job, making the choice to move on in life, right?
It's a big deal.
Huge deal. And I think a lot of people don't realize, just like you were saying, being able to connect those dots that I'm actually experiencing a type of grief.
Well, I think when you realize it, then you can feel better.
Yeah.
Some way.
Yeah.
Whatever way it is. But if you don't know, you're just kind of like stuck in there, you know, what's going on? And who should I be grieving? You know, like... my loved one is the one that's having an issue here.
Right.
You know, and because the caregiver doesn't really take care of themselves. But I think we're going to have to take a phone call for a second and come back, because this is very important. It's Debbie. Hey, Debbie, how are you today?
Doing very well, Linda. Good morning.
So glad you're here today. So tell our listeners a little bit about Voices of Aphasia and what's going on.
Okay, well, thank you. I will happily talk about Voices of Hope for Aphasia, but the reason we're calling actually is something completely separate. As you know, I run the nonprofit Voices of Hope for Aphasia for folks who have a language disorder due to stroke or other brain injury, and we provide programs for them and for their families. But today, Roxanne Fay and I are calling from Circle in the Water, which is a theater production company, because we happen to be doing a play. Roxanne is a very well-known and award-winning actor in the Tampa Bay area.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hello. And we are in production right now with a show that is running in Tampa and in St. Petersburg that focuses on dementia, on looking at from the direction of or telling the story from the person that's suffering it, but also the effects of caregiving during that period of decline.
Mm-hmm.
Roxanne, I don't know if you would like to share a little bit about how we chose the show and how it's been going.
Well, the show is actually close to all three of us, Debbie and I, who are the two people in the cast, and our director, Alan Mooney. We've all had our lives touched by dementia and Alzheimer's, and so sort of a natural choice to do this particular show. And it just sort of progressed from there. You know, Alan and Debbie and I have worked together several times before, and we wanted to find a project that we all felt strongly about doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we landed in this one.
So what is the name of the show?
It's called...
Go ahead, Roxanne.
Breadcrumbs by Jennifer Haley.
Breadcrumbs. And then I believe after the show there's going to be a talk?
Yes. So so we're doing the performances of Breadcrumbs again this week on Monday and Tuesday at the Straz. And if people are interested, tickets can be purchased through the Straz. And then we move the show to St. Petersburg, where we will run starting March 24th on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then on the Sunday performances, the last Sunday performance in particular, April 3rd, the cast and crew will be available for what we call as a talkback. And we have some very esteemed guests. Linda.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that too.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Friend, who is a guardian and advocate for people with dementia or and the elderly, to talk about and answer questions about issues that may arise in supporting somebody with dementia. Yeah.
So I'm very excited about this. And if you will text me all that, email me all that information, I'll put it in the description of the show. Because I'm very excited about this, and I think it's just wonderful for my caregivers and for their loved ones, because you're out there addressing issues that we need to address.
Yeah.
And that's so very important.
Thank you. Yeah, for sure. I'll send you all that information. And the show, I will say, it's a little teary.
It's okay.
It's poignant, and I think it touches on a lot of different issues that your audience, your viewership, your...
And you know, Debbie, I get the teary deal, because when I speak live, usually 70% of the audience cries, and I'm like, yes! Because because if they feel their feelings, then they're going to do something about it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to get them to feel that feelings to make that next move.
Or just make them acknowledge it to begin with.
Yeah, that they're having that feeling.
Yeah.
So... thank you so much for being with me today, ladies. I really appreciate you, and I will see you on April 3rd, and I will promote this as best I can.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a delicious day.
You too. Yeah. Bye.
I love living in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
There are people here that want to make a difference. They're professionals that work together, and we're all here to work together for the best outcome for the loved one and the caregiver. Not for my best outcome financially or business-wise or whatever. We're here to do the right thing, and it just makes me crazy. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the anticipatory grief, because I think it's really important.
Yeah, okay. So we talked a little bit about other examples outside of knowing that a loved one is going to approaching death and dying, right? So some of the symptoms that we can experience when we're talking about anticipatory grief are very similar to those of anxiety and depression. Right?
Okay.
We know a big change is coming. Having sleeplessness, having a loss of appetite, having difficulty regulating our emotions, right? I have a daughter that I was just talking to yesterday, and she was telling me that she had to keep pulling over on the side of the road because she would just start crying for no reason.
Yeah.
She couldn't think of what that trigger was, and it was...
There's a reason.
There was a change that had been happening with Dad, and she wasn't able to connect that. So just being able to take the time and talk through it, just as we were just talking about, being able to acknowledge a feeling, right? Bring it to the forefront and talk about it is such an important way to help handle that.
Well, I'll tell you, when I have a new person come into a support group, 9 out of 10 times, the two things they say, the first thing they say is, my life wasn't supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
And what happened to my family and friends?
Yeah, everybody's gone.
And we have to deal with a lot of that stuff. And sometimes we're just so busy being the caregiver that we're not even acknowledging that stuff. We're just stuffing it and choking.
Right.
And it's, you know, someone said to me, well, you know what I grieve the most? That we can't play tennis anymore.
Mm, the loss of a routine.
Right.
Of who they used
or
to be.
Or something they enjoyed doing together.
Yeah.
Well, to actually, when she actually verbalized that and realized that that was one of the things that was bothering her the most, that she missed the most.
Yeah.
Well, so then she started getting tapes of tennis matches. And they started watching it on the big screen TV.
So she could connect it and they could engage in
so
it again.
So they could still, yeah. You know, and even when it got to the point as her husband progressed and he could not do much more than watch TV,
yeah,
he could still enjoy that with her. And she could say sometimes, because thank God for the internet and the things we can do today, the
right.
things we can pull up. And she said they used to go to Forest Hills in New York for a lot of the games. So
yeah.
she could pull that up and say, remember that one?
Right, the U.S. Open.
You know,
right.
and many
yeah.
times he could remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what a special connection.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about the grief, though, because I think a lot of people aren't
yeah.
facing it.
Yeah, not acknowledging it. And I just, I think about some of the conversations I have with my caregivers, right? And they'll make the comment, you know, moms live such a long life. You know, we've been preparing for this. I don't know why it's so hard.
The longer you have them, the more you're going to miss them.
Well, it's yeah. very hard when someone says, okay, the person was 90 years old, whatever.
Yeah.
And they had a long life.
Yeah.
It's still my mother. I don't care if it's my mother when I'm 10 yeah. or it's my mother when I'm 110.
Yeah. No, we talk about it the same way. I say,
don't say that to me.
There's no right way to grieve the loss of a parent, especially mom.
Yeah.
Right? Regardless of your age, regardless of how close or how...
Right.
Right? It's still that loss. It's that really awful club that we all have to join at some point
yeah.
of losing a parent.
I know, and I lost my father. I don't know how my husband put up with me. It was months and months.
You were crushed.
I didn't, you know, and then even thinking about it, yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah. And so ways that we can help one another as caregivers, right, or that we can help a friend that is going through this is being there for them, but in a very practical way, right? Rather than saying, I'm here if you need anything.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, how about if I come in and I'll sit with Dad for an hour so you can
right.
you can go for a walk outside, right? Those
right.
very tangible, practical things that are actually helpful rather than thoughts and prayers, ideas, and I'll
yeah,
think of
nice,
it.
Yeah, that's nice, but...
Yeah, but no, I need help now, right?
Right.
I need to go get my toenails cut.
Right.
right?
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Give me a minute so that
I just need to take a shower.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, those very basic things. So being able to normalize, right, anticipatory grief is grief. You're just going through it in a more anxious state is how I think about it,
yeah.
right? Because after someone's
right.
death, that tangible thing that we can pinpoint, this is the
yeah.
day that they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Up until then, we have the anxiety building up to it. After the fact, we have the reflection, which leads to sometimes depression looking back at it. It's all going to that pinpointed day.
You know, we were just talking in the support group this morning. I could cry right now. So my husband, every week after the show,
yeah.
we would go outside, I'd get in the car, and I would turn my phone on, and he'd say, great show. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the end when he was really sick thinking, when's the last time I'm going to see great show? And then it was probably like 2 weeks before he died. And he said to me, I can't even listen to this show today. And I was like, but that was so hard. Just that little great show thing missing.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, because whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think a lot of us don't pay attention to that stuff. We just kind of try to push it off or let it go. I'd rather think about it and cry about it. Because then I feel good about it after that.
acknowledging the feeling.
Yeah,
not
I mean, that's
being,
what it is.
Not being afraid to name the feeling. I'm feeling sad right now.
Yeah.
Right? I'm feeling anxious right now. I'm feeling really worried. Being able to take the time to sit in the moment.
Yeah.
As uncomfortable as it is, as wonderful as whatever the moment is, being able to acknowledge it and sit in it helps us to be able to connect so that when the time does come, we'll be able to sit in that a little bit longer too.
Yeah.
No, I just put everything to the back of my mind until it happens.
A lot of us do.
Yeah.
Well, I've even been through my own thing now, so I run from grief. I know me. Oh, I got to do the show. I got to help my caregivers. I got to do
this.
I
remember
this.
When your mother passed, you called me and said, I'm in the car. I'm delivering a
catering order.
Yeah.
Let me focus on everyone else but me.
Yeah.
You know, that was, and so my husband died a year ago, October. Mm-hmm. And I just started a grief share group. I didn't start it. I'm a participant in it. Because I'm like, you can't keep running, Linda. You got to, like, face some of that stuff. You got to, like, really, like, feel your grief. Because the past few months, I've been very, like, I don't know why I'm teary. I don't know why I'm this. I know why I am.
Yeah.
Because I didn't address some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I still haven't addressed a lot of it. I have a hard time.
I know, but I think when you do, then you just feel better.
Yeah. It's scary when it sneaks up on you, right?
Yeah.
Which it happens on this show for me.
Oh, I bet. There's a lot of triggering things that they're talked about on here.
Exactly. My husband had to mention that, and someone will say something, and the tears will just come because I put it out of my mind.
I was done with that.
Yeah.
Put it out of my mind. I went, I don't want to hear this. Yeah. But, yeah, you do feel better after you have a good cry over it.
Yeah, I'm always a proponent of crying.
Oh, agreed.
I think it's a good time.
Agreed.
I think it's a really good time to just get to your feelings and it's okay. And I always feel better after I cry.
I always
feel better after I cry. I feel like I just like release some stuff.
What's that song, Crying Gets the Sad Out of You?
Oh, I didn't know
it's
that
all right
song.
To cry. Yeah, I remember listening to it in school. Like, it's all right to cry.
It is all right to cry.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah.
Boys have more problems.
And I think you realize a lot of that, too, as you age, as you're more mature.
Yeah, emotionally mature.
You know, I'm not going to be 20 years old crying in front of my friends, or maybe 30, or maybe 40. Yeah.
But it's easier for girls to cry, because men were taught.
I think that's getting a little better with the more current generations than it was, like, our dads. No men cried then.
No.
You know, no men cried then.
Yeah.
I think we're changing.
So can you imagine what it did? That's why they all died younger.
Yeah, maybe.
It was all pent up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All that pent up stress and anxiety and depression that they had to just pretend wasn't there.
Pretend.
Yeah, make believe.
Yeah, no fun. Well, right now it's time to hear from our wonderful sponsors, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears. Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, Answers to the Questions You Didn't Know You Needed to Ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okie dokie, Artichoke. So, what are some of the last things you want our listeners to hear today about anticipatory grief?
I think the biggest message that I'd like to give is just that it's normal, right? And it looks different. Grief in general looks different for everyone.
Yeah.
And to not feel that you are alone, and to not feel that what you're doing is wrong. I remember when
it's okay.
Yeah. I remember when I went through loss myself, and I turned to my sister at one point, and I just said to her, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to grieve. I don't know how, is it okay to cry? I was a mess because I thought that there was a textbook definition as to what things were supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Right? Like on day one, on day five,
right,
a week, a month, whatever. And just feeling lost because I didn't know that it was okay to go through it on my own process.
Yeah.
Right? And I was lucky I wasn't alone. I had family that I could rely on. I had friends that I could rely on. Knowing that it's okay to ask for help, I think, is also a really important message.
Yeah.
Right? Being able to identify, I'm having a really hard time being a caregiver right now. I'm having
Because if somebody said that to you, you'd be like, okay, baby, what can I do to help you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's okay, because when anybody says that to me, and I'm like, okay, what could we do? They're like, oh, okay, let's get past that not asking for stuff.
Right, yeah. Sometimes I've even said to some of the family members that I work with, do you need me to give you permission to ask for help? Yeah. Because I'm giving you permission.
Yeah. And sometimes I say to... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Sometimes I say to my caregivers, this may be a little blunt, but if you're not taking care of yourself, you're doing an injustice to your loved one.
Yeah.
Work sometimes.
It's sometimes people need to hear it that way. I'm also very direct. Like,
yeah. My biggest problem was I didn't like to share my grief. Mm. I wanted it just for me.
Yeah.
And I know after my mother died, when I was with my sisters, the first time I really...
You're a very private person.
I am a very private person. And I shared something with her, and afterwards I felt, ooh, that wasn't so bad. But you know, I don't tell people how I feel. I will cry.
Well, some of our best conversations have happened after the show.
Yeah. But I'm not a good sharer.
But there's room for people that aren't good sharers can still be good absorbers, right?
Yes.
Of things that are being said.
I'd be the first to help somebody, but I hate to ask for help. Because I was turned down as a kid, and that just stays in my mind. What if they say no?
Well, you know, I don't know if you've heard, there's a new app, and it's called Circle OF. In fact, they're going to be part of my conference, as you are. And so you can go on there, and it's a free app for caregivers. You set up a little profile for your loved one. And so now, let's say your first circle is like your immediate family. So mom's meds changed today or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, I can just go put that on there, and they all know. So I don't have to call them all at night and tell them and listen to my sister that tells me what I'm doing wrong, you know, whatever.
Right.
But you can set up another circle of just your friends and family, whoever it is. And then you say, I could need help with laundry or mowing my lawn, you know, or whatever. And then your friends go on there and they go, 2:00 Tuesday, I'll be there to mow your lawn.
Yeah.
Is that fabulous?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because they're kind of asking for help, but not really. I'm not asking you directly.
It's a passive way of
posting
saying,
it on the board.
That would be good for me.
Yeah. And then your friends who really want to help you don't know what the hell to do.
Right.
So they don't do nothing. And then you're mad because they didn't.
Right.
Could go, I'll do your stinking laundry. And I'll tell you, caregivers, don't think you're the only one that can do laundry.
Anyone can.
Everybody. Prop just telling? About. My grandson's 18 and he can do laundry.
I'm teaching my 10-year-old, so yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
we weren't allowed to touch anything like no, that we as weren't kids. Either.
Well, that was in the day. It was like,
well, that's when you put one red, it just dyed everything pink. I've done that yeah. a few times in my day, too. But
I did a lot of hanging clothes on the clothesline in my day, though. I didn't do the laundry.
Did you ever take them off when they were frozen solid?
Oh, yeah, especially the towels.
Yeah.
Be like, can you bring them in the house?
And then we finally got a dryer when I was in 12 years old, but my mother still had those sheets had to go outside, and I lived in Montreal, so.
Well, and then it's a little like nippy. 12 years old, please don't hang my training bra on the clothesline.
I don't even think I had one at that point.
But whatever it is. So what's the last thing you want to say to our caregivers today?
Your network is bigger than you realize.
Mm-hmm. And there's help out there.
There is help out there.
Come to the conference.
Come to the conference and you'll be connected with all kinds of resources and yeah. people that can help
there's
you.
There's just tons of information out there and there are people that really want to help you. There are people that are in the same boat as you. There are people that have been in that boat. There are people that have been in that boat. Now they're in a new boat.
Yeah.
We're aging. We're living so much longer. Good and bad, I don't know.
There's a little of both.
Yeah, but there are so many wonderful resources today. And just think about some of the tips you hear on the show. You know, just that easy thing about they couldn't play tennis anymore, mm-hmm. but they could still watch. And that's one thing I always was, like, so proud of my stepmother. Heidi, she's the best. She took care of my dad 10 years, and he was, like, 6'2", and she's, like, 4'10". Took care of him all by herself.
Oh, wow.
But sometimes I would go into New York to visit them, and I would go out to take a walk, and I would come back, and my dad would be drinking a little bit of Jack Daniels, and Heidi would have her champagne, and they were sitting there reminiscing about the wonderful life they had. Mm. Remember the time we went to Spain? Remember the time? So they weren't sitting there. My father was confined to a bed in the middle of New York City, crying about, I can't go out, I can't do, I, you know?
And when he was a talker, like his daughter.
Oh, yes, just a little bit.
And then he couldn't talk. You couldn't hear him.
And what did he do after that, though?
Handed his cards, I
had
know.
All his jokes printed on business cards.
Oh, how sweet.
So he would hand them out. Yeah. Everybody in the hospital, in the doctors, wanted to be with my dad.
Yeah.
Wanted to help him as much as they could because he wasn't crying, feeling sorry for himself. He's like, have a laugh. Yeah. One time it was the day before he was supposed to have surgery. I go in to visit him at NYU in New York. And he comes in, the doctor comes in the night before to check. And my little stepmother, Heidi, goes, doctor, I have a stool sample for you. And the doctor goes, I didn't ask you for any stool. No, I have it right here. And the doctor's looking at her like, you're nuts. And she opens up the drawer, you know those little plastic containers? And she opens it up, and inside was a little wooden Barbie doll stool. And the surgeon started laughing, and my father said, you always want your surgeon to be happy. You don't want an angry guy working on you.
Your father.
And like I say, everybody just wanted him to be their patient. So it was a wonderful thing. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm getting the finger from Ed. I know how valuable your time is, and I'm glad that you tune in. Tune in next week for some more good news. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
And you need a helping hand.